Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
Well, we started this series exploring the Christian faith with a famous quote from Blaise Pascal. He said, I quote, "There's a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every person, which cannot be filled by anything but only by God, made known through Jesus." And for the past 7 weeks, you've been a participant in one of the most popular courses of its kind called Christianity Explained, looking at the life and mission of Jesus. We've been doing that with author Michael Bennett. We've explored the life of Jesus, his miracles, his death, his resurrection. Last week, we talked about what it takes to become his follower. Maybe you prayed along with Michael back then and made that life-changing step of turning your past, present, and future over to Jesus. If you did, I'd love to hear from you. What happens next, though? We need to answer that before we wrap things up. Michael's back with us for one last time. Michael, welcome again.
It's been good to be with you, Sharon.
You know, looking back, how has your life changed since you made that decision to follow Jesus?
Well, I actually became a Christian in a rather unusual way. You've probably heard stories of people who maybe some tragedy came into their life. You know, there was a death, or maybe they went bankrupt, or they got sick or something. Hmm. There's lots of those stories, okay? I became a Christian because everything was going too well.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's going to be the first.
Yeah. There was a stage in my life for about 3 months where everything in my life was absolutely fantastic. I used to play rugby for one of the clubs in Brisbane, and I was promoted to the first grade. And I remember one day the television cameras came. They didn't often come. And I had the best day I've ever had. I scored 2 starry tries, won the game. I got man of the match award, Actually, the club mates reckoned I only played my best when the cameras were rolling. And at the same time, I was studying architecture. I was passed all my exams. I was working for a firm of architects and getting responsibility, you know, to actually do design projects and see them right through to the end. And I had a social life and a lovely girl with long blonde hair and a VW Beetle, you know, and plenty of money. Everything in my life was absolutely rosy, and I was miserable. Mm-hmm. I remember thinking, I've got all these things that the world tells me that are things that make life meaningful, and yet I felt empty and purposeless. So that sort of started me. It was a long process. It took me about 2 years from that point. But it started me thinking, what's the point of life? Why are we here? Mm. Are we here just to earn a bit of money, raise a few kids, grow old and fall off the perch at the other end? You know, that seemed to me. So that's the first change for me, that coming to Christ has given me real purpose and meaning in my life. It's got meaning. I know where I'm going now. I know where I'm going when I die. Mm. Okay. Secondly, it's removed the fear of death, which is a basic human fear. Even people who say in a blasé sort of way, oh, you know, I don't fear death. When you've got to go, you've got to go. They're kidding themselves. All of us fear death.
Most people feel some sort of anxiety when they're lying in the hospital.
Yeah. It's a basic human fear, if you like. And the other thing I'd say is there's been emotional changes. I used to get quite depressed at the meaninglessness of life, you know, and I'd come home from a party and I'd sit down on my bed and I'd sink my head and I'd think, well, what was all that about? What have I got to show for that? Hmm. What does that add to my life? Nothing. So, yes, there has been a change emotionally.
Yeah.
So there are 3 that come to mind.
I can resonate with some of those. Those people who were listening to us last week and actually maybe prayed that prayer at the end, you know, to hand their whole life over to Jesus, to follow God, to actually be part of this wonderful new community called the Kingdom of God, quote unquote. What 3 things, just want to bring it down to a couple of things, just 3 things that you suggest they should do from this point on? I don't want to leave people without some sort of kind of roadmap, I guess, from this point on as to what they should do.
The thing that I've stressed right from the beginning of this series is I would like them to read the Bible for themselves. I mean, even what you and I are doing now is secondhand. We're giving them second what we think about Christianity, okay? Mm. And what I want them to do is to get a Bible, particularly the New Testament, although the Old Testament has got its place. We suggested the 4 Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. This course is based on Mark. And read that right through. So begin reading the Bible. Probably the second thing I would say is to look around and see if you've got any Christian friends, people that you can write to at work. You might be surprised to discover who are Christians. You
know? It's often, isn't it? Often the case, actually. They come out of the woodwork, so to speak. Oh, I didn't realise you were a follower of Jesus.
Yeah. being a Christian can be a lonely experience sometimes. If you're, supposing you're at school, class of 30, and you're the only believing Christian, that can be lonely, you know.
Hmm.
And the third one, if I can talk about the C word, find a church. Jesus came to found the church. He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not overthrow it, will not prevail against it. And when the apostles like Paul and Peter, the leaders of the church, when they went out, and you can read about this in the book called Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, they went out to found churches. So we're never meant to be individual little island Christians.
That's important, isn't it? Really, a Christian can't be a Christian alone. We're part of a new community, a new group of people.
Yeah, the idea of kingdom of God implies that, that we're part of, that's right, a new family that God is putting together. You know, when I go to church, I look around our church, we've a small church, about 60 people, and I think, what a strange collection they are. Most of them are not people that I would normally call friends, if you know what I mean.
Naturally speaking.
Some of them are, and yet we have there's a supernatural something that binds us together. And it's a strange thing. I will meet a Christian from Africa who I've never met before, and there's this strange bonding. You're part of the family, you know. They may walk out of my life and I may never see them in this life again, and yet a part of the family has teed up. So I'd say look around, try to find a place where the family meets church, if you like, where you can grow.
Michael Bennett is with us, author of Christianity Explained, theopenhouse.net.au for the podcast. How do you actually find a good church, though? Where do you even begin? White pages? Phone book?
That's a good question. I suppose you can ask if you've got Christian friends where they go. I'll tell you what, when I go into a church, I look for two things. The first thing I ask is, does this church take the Bible seriously? Do they teach the Bible? Do they regard it as the Word of God and not just some sort of academic plaything? Okay, that's my first criteria. But I'm looking for something more than that. I'm asking myself, is this a warm place? A friendly place. One good thing is, the first time you go, does anyone speak to you? That's probably a good criteria. Unfortunately, it doesn't always happen, you know. I think in my church, it happens too much. People get bombarded.
Swamped. You
know? At least I hope they do. Anyway, so is this a place where there's real friendship, warmth, and fellowship? Now, if those two things are there, I can put up with anything else. And there's always going to be things you don't like. I tell people, look, the church is a club for sinners. You've got to be one to get in.
Yes.
And so you shouldn't be surprised if you walk through the door and the place is full of them. And therefore, it's going to be imperfect. So don't expect it to be perfect.
And just speaking on the Bible too, Michael, what version of the Bible would you encourage new Christians to read?
Well, the one most people are using these days is called the NIV, called the New International Version. It's the translation most churches you'll go to, you'll find it's the translation that they're using. And it's a modern translation, so it doesn't have that old Elizabethan language of the comeths and goeth and
these and thous.
It's in modern English. So that's what I would recommend. If you go to any Christian bookshop, you should find shelves full of Bibles. And most of them will be NIVs, you know.
And then there's this thing called baptism. When you think about it, really, it's an interesting symbolic experience, really, isn't it? You actually, it depends on which tradition of a church you're actually part of, but a good deal of churches, when it comes to an adult convert to Christianity, will experience full immersion baptism. You'll go into some sort of vessel of water, you'll be dunked with water, you'll come back up, and it's a symbol of Jesus' death and resurrection, and our death and resurrection as well.
Yes.
At what point should somebody be considering baptism?
Well, I'm a bit radical on this one. I believe the moment a person becomes a believer, they should be baptized. Now, if you look in the New Testament, there's the man called the Ethiopian eunuch. Mm-hmm. The moment he comes to faith, he says, look, here's some water, why can't I be baptized? And he is. The jailer at Philippi, mentioned in Acts, okay? He becomes a Christian through the ministry of Paul, and that very night, he and his whole family are baptized.
Mm.
So if you haven't already been baptized, then I would begin inquiring about it. It's a way of saying, sealing the deal, as it were.
Yes,
you know?
It's really just an act of obedience, really. It doesn't actually add anything to your salvation, so to speak. It's just following through on what Jesus is called to do, isn't it?
Yeah. There's the story of the man on the cross next to Jesus, who turned to Jesus and said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. There's the kingdom again, you see. And Jesus says to him, today you'll be with me in paradise. So he became a member of the kingdom there on a cross. He was never baptized. So it's not essential, but, well, if I can use that expression, it's a way of sealing the deal, in a sense. So I would say if you've genuinely come to faith in Jesus Christ, sincerely, you believe it's genuine, then inquire of your local minister or whatever and say, I would like to be prepared for baptism.
Mm. All right. Well, if you've got some questions after this 7-week series that we've actually had, love you to make contact with us. You can give me a call now. Otherwise, please make contact with Michael directly through his website, ChristianityExplained.com. You can find his phone number there. You can actually connect up with him personally too. And it's been exciting. It's been good.
And email address.
And email address is there as well. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, Michael, thanks for joining us for these last few weeks. It's been very important, but also very enjoyable.
It's been terrific to be here. And my prayer is that some of those who have heard these broadcasts will, in fact, say, yes, I want to follow God. I want to be a member of that kingdom. I pray so.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.